CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Nick Bunker, the historian. In the Shadow of Fear, America and the World in 1950. The B-36, the super bomb we now know as the H-bomb, Stalin, the concerns that everybody has in Washington about segregation, about the Fair Deal, and what does Truman really care about at Christmas time into the new year? Any of these weigh on his mind? No, we learn now it's the coal strike of the winter of 1950 that the president regards as his greatest test. We need now to introduce several players who are lost again to the 21st century, but were vivid in my childhood. John L. Lewis of the United Mine Workers, Phil Murray of the Steel Workers, and Walter Reuther of the Auto Workers. Unions were extremely powerful. And did Truman have the struggle with them because of the Taft-Hartley Act? Did they blame him for that?
Well, to some extent. Now, the situation, of course, was that in 1948, the presidential election, the unions, of course, had strongly supported Harry Truman. And he always regarded the labor unions as part of his kind of core constituency. Labor unions on the one hand and farmers on the other. But indeed, there was a problem that he was unable to repeal this piece of legislation, the Taft-Hartley Act. Now, Taft, in 1947, had managed to get this thing through Congress. The Taft-Hartley Act essentially was a piece of legislation designed to regulate the labor unions, to roll back some of the extra powers and privileges they'd been given under Franklin Roosevelt, and to make it essentially more difficult for them to organize, to recruit new members, and to undertake strike action. Now, the labor unions obviously wanted the Taft-Hartley Act repealed, but Harry Truman simply never had the votes in Congress from the Democratic Party to do that. And so there was a degree of disappointment with Truman in the labor unions. The problem with the coal industry was really quite an acute one. Now, at this particular stage, of course, coal was hugely important to America for heating homes, for pretty much everything, for running trains and so on and so forth. And there were 500,000 coal miners. And the leader of the unions, a man called John L. Lewis, whom you mentioned, was a hugely important and a very, very dramatic kind of a figure. He had come to prominence during the 1930s, when basically he had been on the side of Franklin Roosevelt. During the 1940s in World War II, he had fallen out with Franklin Roosevelt because John L. Lewis didn't like the kind of wage controls that were imposed during World War II. But he was still very, very powerful indeed. And he was absolutely determined to ensure that coal miners achieved a sustainable big improvement in their wages, their benefits, particularly wanted pensions and health benefits. He was determined to get this, partly because he knew that the coal industry was going to be losing out in future to oil and gas. He knew that as oil and gas became more dominant as sources of energy, so the coal industry would come under pressure, and his union would probably see its ranks decline as employment in the coal mines decline. So he was determined to get a kind of a big one-off gains from his bargaining with the coal companies at that particular point. So he did indeed launch this long coal strike, which went on for months and months and months. It was kind of an on and off strike. They would go on strike, then they'd come back to work, they would do short time working, but then it became a complete total shutdown in the early part of 1950. And it was a terrible worry for Truman, because of course the Cold War obviously was an issue, but everybody knew that no one expected Harry Truman to win the Cold War at a stroke. But they did expect the president to try and ensure that the lights didn't go out on Broadway, that the trains could run, and the people schools weren't having to close because they couldn't heat the classrooms. So there was it was a big issue for Truman, and especially a big issue, obviously, because he had always argued that the trade unions were part of his core constituency. Of course, he had to be able to somehow or other deliver some kind of negotiated settlement with them, and that was extremely difficult. And Lewis, of course, at this particular point, said very rude things about Harry Truman. I mean, later the two men had a kind of a reconciliation, but Lewis was a very fierce kind of character in his language and any other way. He said that he described Harry Truman as a malignant, scheming individual entirely unfit to be president of the United States.
To say how far away this time period is from the 21st century, we have less than a minute, Nick. The number one movie at Christmas time, 1949 to 1950. Please introduce it, Nick, quickly.
It was Samson and Delilah, starring Hedy Lamarr and Victor Mature. Hedy Lamarr as Delilah and Samson as Victor Mature as Samson. And it features one particularly dramatic moment when Samson, played by Victor Mature, fights a life and death struggle against a lion somewhere in Palestine. The only problem is that the lion is so obviously an actor dressed up in a lion costume. But it was a hugely popular film. It was the biggest grossing film in American history at that time after Gone with the Wind. It was a very opulent biblical epic by Cecil B. DeMille. And it kind of captures the period. This was the kind of thing Americans liked to watch at that time.
In the Shadow of Fear, America and the World in 1950, there's trouble ahead. Nick Bunker's the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.